After the Emancipation Proclamation freed people from slavery, Black people who lived in or moved to New York City were left virtually hopeless. They lacked money, had little to no formal education, and their families were torn apart. But they had one thing, community. So they gathered.
And if you wanted something done in your community, a mortgage, a streetlight fixed, a voice at City Hall, you didn't just vote. You organized at your community's de facto headquarters, the church.
Hi, I'm Haya Punjwani.
And I'm Jalen Green. Welcome back to The City Was Black, a six-part audio series exploring what it means to live in New York.
And how the city has evolved through the point of view of what it means to be Black in New York City right now.
We're at a critical point in New York history. And as you'll learn throughout this podcast, the city would not be the rich melting pot of cultures it is right now without the contributions of Black people.
There isn't a single issue in the city right now that doesn't impact Black people, whether that's immigration, housing, or education. The future of New York City will depend on how Black communities and other minorities survive in the city. Last episode, we learned about the significance of religion for Black communities in New York City. This time, we look at how Black political power in New York evolved out of church basements and into seats of power at city and state levels.
The only power you had was to convene.
That's Reverend Al Sharpton.
Black Church was our first effort toward coming together. We could congregate, which is why our Black colleges, our Black fraternities, our Black politics all started Black Church, but that's the only thing we had.
He says the church wasn't just about prayer. It also served as a political headquarters.
By the early 1900s, if you wanted Black votes, you went to the church. But Black people didn't have real power yet.
If you had a church and needed a mortgage, it was based on if you could trade with your local assembly, you know, councilman. But you had no power. So it was basically a client relationship. We had no real power until the mid to late 50s.
That started changing in 1941, when Adam Clayton Powell Jr. became the first Black person elected to New York City Council. He was the pastor of Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem.
Powell led boycotts of stores that wouldn't hire Black workers in the 1940s, 20 years before the Montgomery bus boycott sit-ins down south.
In 1945, he became the second Black person from New York elected to Congress.
By the 60s, a new generation rose up. Percy Sutton, David Dinkins, Charles Rangel, Basil Patterson. They called themselves the Gang of Four. Keisha Sutton James is the deputy Manhattan borough president.
There wasn't any daylight between them, and they just moved in lockstep, which frankly made them incredibly effective. They were able to amass power because they trusted one another.
They coordinated together. Percy Sutton pushed Rangel to run for Congress, pushed Dinkins to run for mayor. And because of that community and trust in each other, they built real political power.
Fast forward to 1986, Michael Griffith, a young Black man, was chased by a white mob in Howard Beach and killed. Sharpton led marches.
We had very little political power. But by 89, they killed a young man in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. We led marches. We caused a lot of uproar. A lot of whites got in. We elected the first Black mayor, David Dinkins.
It took until 1989, nearly 200 years, to elect the first Black mayor, and then 30 more years to elect the second one.
But today, the landscape has transformed. The city has had two Black mayors, has a Black state attorney general, Black borough presidents, and Black district attorneys.
Here's Sutton James again.
We're in leadership seats across the city and state. Where we are now in terms of our coverage is something that I can't, I think it would blow their minds.
Sharpton gathered all these leaders together and asked, what are we going to do with this power?
Sharpton noticed tension. With more Black leaders came more disagreement. Back then, the Gang of Four moved as one. Today, leaders don't always align.
The Neely case.
In reference to Jordan Neely.
And I jumped out and supported that guy shouldn't have been killed. Well, there were Blacks in office, including the mayor, that said they understood the guy choking and people were afraid of crime. So I think that we've gotten strong enough where we can disagree without being disagreeable.
So where does Black political power go from here?
Eljoy Williams leads the NAACP's New York State Conference. She's looking toward 2030, the next census, the next redistricting.
That we can continue to expand our reach into legislative and policy space to ensure that the communities that we are in and will build have the resources necessary to thrive. And that means in every aspect, right? That means that the schools that are in our communities have the resources and the staff and all that they need to succeed in order to prepare our children for a thriving future. That ensures that we continue to break those structural barriers for thriving Black communities. That means that we continue to push the envelope on changing our justice system to be more just and less predatory and not adding additional things to criminalize people for and therefore increase prison population.
Sharpton thinks that there's something that will unite Black politics again.
It's Donald Trump. He is blatantly doing things that is against the interest of the community. So whereas some grieve, and so do I to some degree, on the election of Donald Trump, the movement side of me says he's going to unite us.
Sharpton sees Trump as a perfect enemy that can rally Black communities together because many see his actions against the interests of the Black community.
He hopes this administration will help unite Black political leaders and activists, even if they disagree on other issues, similar to how the civil rights activists united around fighting segregation in places like Birmingham.
From client relationships to the Gang of Four, to the halls of power, to the fight for what comes next. Black politics in New York has always been about building something out of nothing. And that fight is not over.
Next time, entertainment. How, like politics, Black-led music, fashion, dance, and art molded the city. And how it's continuing to shape the culture today.
This is The City Was Black with your host, Haya Pandrani, and me, Jalen Green. This series is produced with guidance from AP Managing Editors Ron Vample and Aaron Morrison. Special thanks to our guests, Reverend Al Sharpton, Keisha Sutton-James, and Eljoy Williams.
Thanks for listening.